Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Jason Lipschutz, and I am an associate editor and the Pop Shop blog editor of Billboard.com. Based in New York, on the other line in Los Angeles, is the California girls to my Welcome to New York, Keith Caulfield. How's it going, Keith?
I'm good. How are you, and what does that mean?
The California girls to my Welcome to New York. Hey,
oh,
we're bi-coastal.
It's like a sort of a East Coast, West Coast diva like battle sort of thing.
Exactly. Got hey, it. There's rumored beef between Katie and Taylor, and now she's got the California song and the Welcome to New York song, and hey, the East Coast, West Coast feud is back on. So it's a shame. We come from two different lands. We come from two different coasts.
And now I'm the diva who's tried to like make your life difficult by stealing your alleged like dancers or stagehands or something. Is that it?
Anyway. Exactly. How dare you? Well, Keith, we have a crazy episode today. We have a special guest. Kaiza is stopping by the Pop Shop Woo-hoo. Podcast. I know Kaiza of Hideaway fame, also of Take You There fame with Jack Yu. She stopped by to talk about her new album, Sound of a Woman, her debut.
Out now, out this week.
And basically everything else going on with her choreography, some of the chances she's taken as an artist. So that will be later in the show. Before we also start, once again, a quick thank you again to Darren Criss, who co-hosted last week's Pop Shop podcast. It was an hour long. It was a total blast. It was our best episode ever, I think, on the Pop Shop podcast.
And also
in terms of
our longest
listenership
ever.
Definitely our longest. Yeah, Darren is a chatty guy, but he knows his stuff about pop music, so that we didn't want it to end. So.
I felt schooled. I felt very informed. And
I know, right?
A lot of the comments I saw from people online were, you know, how it was a really intelligent conversation, a thoughtful conversation, just a good conversation overall. So thanks, Darren. Thanks for coming in. Thank you.
Thanks, Darren. We'll hopefully get him back on the Pop Shop podcast at some point. But if you missed last week's episode, again, it's always on Billboard.com as well as iTunes. Just search for Pop Shop podcast in the iTunes store. So Keith, before we get to Kaiza, before we get to Taylor Swift Out of the Woods, before we get to the Hot 100 where Meghan Trainor is still number one, but and the top five is still all females, but some male artists might be creeping into the top five soon, so we're going to talk about that. But let's start this week with the albums chart. Country just keeps rolling. Back-to-back-to-back weeks, we've had new number one albums by country artists. First was Blake Shelton, then it was Jason Aldean. And this week, Florida Georgia Line, first number one album, and you wrote about it a whole lot yesterday and this morning. Keith, let's talk about this, man. How much did this album sell?
Well, Anything Goes is the name of the new album from Florida Georgia Line. It sold 197,000 copies in the week ending October 19th, according to Nielsen SoundScan. That is, of course, Florida Georgia Line's best sales week ever, and thus, as you said, makes it their first number one album. It's only their second full-length album, so they haven't exactly been around for like a million years. That said, it's the third week in a row that we've had a country album at number one. Well, a different country album at number one, because FGL follows Blake Shelton's Bringing Back the Sunshine and Jason Aldean's Old Boots, New Dirt. So this is the first time that we've had back-to-back-to-back country number ones in over 4 years. The last time it happened was back in 2010 when Zac Brown Band, Kenny Chesney, and Toby Keith all had three number one albums in a row in 3 different weeks. So yeah, it's there must be something in the water, or at least something in the Bacardi, for so many country acts to be hit number one. And the Bacardi reference is because Florida Georgia Line likes rhyming things with Bacardi and party. Party.
Hey, who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
Who does not? So is that's kind of what I wanted to ask about these three albums. Like you said, first back-to-back-to-back country number one debuts since 2010. Is this just kind of a coincidence that all these albums came out around the same time? Because it wasn't only that, but there were other country, like Lady Antebellum just put out an album. Is it just kind of, you know, that time of the year? Is it just kind of a coincidence that all these albums are coming out within a couple weeks of each other?
A little of both. I think some of it is it's getting to be that time of year where it's we're getting near the fourth quarter. Actually, are we in the fourth quarter technically yet? I think we might be.
We are. Yeah, we are indeed, man.
I should know that considering I write about quarters and stuff. I don't know why I'm talking like this anyway. But it's that time of year where a lot of big albums come out. But also, big country stars tend to put out their albums a little bit earlier than most. And I think it might have something to do with the Country Music Association Awards, the CMA Awards, which happen in November. So I think you want to get out your albums before the CMAs happen. That way, if you have the big splashy performance on the CMAs, that can help you sell some albums. That's not a very scientific answer.
It's a good point. No, it's a good point. A lot of people forget about that.
So I think that has something to do with it. I don't think it's like a, you know, like Grammy eligibility type thing. You know, I think it's just more about the big award shows are coming. Let's get in before the craziness of Thanksgiving. But it doesn't mean there aren't more country albums coming. It just means that we had sort of a logjam, and it's kind of a timing, and it's kind of a coincidence all at the same time.
Very true. So of the big debuts, and again, another one, Kenny Chesney had a number two debut a couple weeks ago. So just a very fertile time for country albums right now. Of all of those that came out, I guess Florida Georgia Line was number one this week, but Jason Aldean kind of won the debut week battle. He had the biggest debut sales week of all of the ones that have come out in the past month, right?
Yeah, and I don't remember what he sold off the top of my head, but he sold more.
Well done. That's why we have you on here, man.
Yeah, so I can not tell you actually
ballpark
any information. you know, it generally sold kind of well. You know, it did pretty okay. It sold 278,000. See, all it took was me to vamp for a second, and I have the number for you.
Well, congrats again to Florida Georgia Line, number one album, their first number one album. As you pointed out in your story, they still have the biggest the best-selling country digital song ever with Cruise, 7 million downloads.
Thanks in part to Nelly, of course, because of the sort of rap remix that helped propel it to great heights on Top 40 Radio. Mm-hmm. And also want to say that Florida Georgia Line is number one on our Artist 100 chart, which is a chart that we started recently, like a month or two ago, well, a couple months ago, and it ranks the most popular artist, period, across major metrics that Billboard monitors, like album sales and streams and track sales and so forth. And so you should check out the Artist 100. It's if you like the Hot 100, if you like the Billboard 200, you'll probably like the Artist 100 too. Check it out. It's on Billboard.com.
Probably will. Yeah. For this low, low price of free.
Free!
Online on
it's
Billboard.com.
Free.
I mean, I and to our listeners, if you guys haven't checked out Keith's weekly Billboard 200 Top 10 Albums Recap, it goes up on Billboard.com every Wednesday morning at 11 Eastern. Check that out because we're doing quick recaps of the Top 10 right now. But if you really want to get into the numbers and get some really, you know, hardcore analysis, check that out every Wednesday morning on Billboard.com. So speaking of the Top 10, we have a bunch of debuts this week,
Seven.
It's kind of crazy
it's
week.
The time
we have
of year.
Bob Seger. Yeah. Bob Seger, number three. You have You and Me, which is Pink and City and Color, at number four. The Game is back at number seven. And then Hoodie Allen is at number eight. Kind of a crazy week. And then a little bit below that, U2.
Hey.
Yes, U2 themselves, Songs of Innocence.
An album you might have heard of.
I know. You know, that Bono guy. Number nine debut on the Billboard 200 albums chart. So let's talk about this. We actually talked about it a little bit with Darren Criss last week, but we had to cut out like, just because the podcast was too long, we couldn't fit everything in there of the conversation, so we had to snip that out. But we talked about how this album sold. I mean, the final number is, I think, 28,000 copies, which, you know, all things considered, you think about their last album, No Line on the Horizon, debuted at number one with over 480,000 copies in its first week. So then you go from that to this, which is number nine with 28,000 copies, obviously just a fraction of it. But then you think about the fact that this album has been free for a month, and whoever wanted to get it, all they needed to do was download it for free in iTunes. 28,000 is actually kind of good, right?
I suppose it's a way of looking at it. I mean, you know, considering that, you know, 26 million people, or the album generated 26 million downloads globally, according to Apple. And that was just through October 9th. So I don't know what the most updated figure is. And we don't, of course, know how many downloads that generated in the US, because I reached out to both Apple and Interscope Records, which is U2's label, and neither one of them had the US figure broken out. So as much as I wanted to try to draw a comparison to 28,000 copies versus X million downloaded in America, you know, kind of like saying, well, look at how many millions it already generated in downloads in America versus how many it actually sold. So really, at the end of the day, this is actually kind of not horrible, because you can't just look at the sales figure and say, oh, it didn't do well. I'm like, no, look at how many downloads it generated. So yeah, I mean, it's such a weird thing. It's really hard to judge this. Certainly, it was probably successful in U2's eyes, because they reached a whole boatload of people that probably would have never even looked at the album, and they got paid.
Absolutely.
So there you go.
Absolutely. And as you pointed out, 96% or so of this 28,000 was, you know, CDs and vinyl, because that's who are going to buy this album when it's on sale in mid-October, after being available for free on iTunes for a month. People, completists basically, who want to own Songs of Innocence, they want it for their record collection, for their vinyl collection. So there you go. U2, number nine debut on the Billboard 200 chart. So Keith, moving over to the Hot 100, the digital songs chart a little bit, Taylor Swift replaces herself atop the digital songs chart this week. Out of the Woods knocks out her own Shake It Off with 195,000 downloads in its first week. And so let's talk about this, man. First of all, we haven't really talked about Out of the Woods. Are you a fan of the song?
Yeah, no, it's great. We talked a little bit about it last week with Darren, but then he had a great Jack Antonoff story, and that kind of, you know, went into the woods a little bit.
It
went into the woods. Are we out of the woods yet? Are we out of the woods?
Are we out of the woods?
Yeah, it sticks in your head. Are we in the clear? Are we in the?
I know, it's literally like, so last week I was just walking around everywhere saying, are we out of the woods yet? Are we out of the woods? And this week I've been walking around everywhere just going, welcome to New York, welcome to New York. So it's, you know, that Taylor Swift, she gets
Out of the Woods isn't even a single from the album. I might be jumping ahead of you a little bit, but it's not even a single. It's just sort of a teaser track. It's kind of like the dark horse to dark horse to Katy Perry's Prism, as Out of the Woods is to 1989, perhaps, or Dark Horse was just a teaser pre-release track. It wasn't a single at first.
Yeah, and that's the exact comparison I wanted to make, was that when Katy Perry was previewing Prism this time last year, like you said, she put out Dark Horse as a teaser track. She put out Walking on Air as a teaser track. Both of them made Hot 100 debuts. Dark Horse ended up being the single after Roar to make the biggest impact. Unconditionally was technically the second single. It was a top 20 hit, but Dark Horse was the one that became basically her longest lasting Hot 100 hit ever.
Still on the chart.
Still on the chart. Dark Horse is still on the Hot 100.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So anyway, sorry.
Taylor. So going back to Taylor Swift. Yeah. So Out of the Woods, it debuts at number 18 on the Hot 100. Obviously, Shake It Off debuted at number one as the lead single, as you know. But Out of the Woods, top 20 debut. And yeah, man, I mean, I think it's just going to be interesting to see what song follows Shake It Off as the second single. Maybe people are really feeling Out of the Woods. Maybe people are really feeling Welcome to New York. Maybe it's something that we haven't even heard yet. I mean, that might very well be the case.
Well, a couple things I wanted to say about this. First, she, as you said, she replaces herself at number one and Shake It Off moves to number two. And this is on the digital songs chart, not the Hot 100. On the digital songs chart, she's numbers one and two. She's the first lead artist to have the numbers one and two slots on the digital songs chart since a little over 2 years ago when Taylor Swift also did it at numbers one and two with We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together and Ronan at numbers one and two. And in terms of, you know, why isn't this a single? You know, is it a single? What will be the single? Yada, yada. No one's actually heard. We haven't heard the full album yet, even though the album comes out on the 27th. It hasn't leaked yet. Right, Jason? Right?
No, it has not leaked.
Which is kind of surprising. I was listening to an interview with Ryan Seacrest was talking about the album the other day, and he'd listened to the whole album, and he said every song sounds like a hit. Every song sounds better than the other. Now, granted, that could be just sort of Ryan Seacrest, promotion. Like, oh man, Taylor's amazing, and every song is amazing, amazing. You know, it could be that.
Well, I also know a couple of people who have heard the album and say the same thing.
And therefore, you every song that we hear, we're like, man, that sounds like a single. And the next one, you're like, that sounds like a single. And the next one, you're like, well, that sounds like a hit too. So maybe the whole thing is just full of 12, hit songs. It's just all nothing but hit songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's a great point. And the thing about like Welcome to New York. And we actually talked about this on the Must Hear Music podcast yesterday, is that it even is like, I think Welcome to New York is a little bit of a step down from Shake It Off and Out of the Woods, especially lyrically. I just don't think it's that amazing lyrically. But then you think like, well, yeah, this isn't even a single. Like, this is just the opening track. It's the lead song on the track list.
Hey there, Mr. Judgy, like, man.
They can't all be fantastic, and I love Shake It Off and Out of the Woods, and I mean Welcome to New York. It's like, I still think it's a very good song. It's just not a fantastic song. So my expectations for this album, and I have not heard this album, sky high. Well, I mean, what's going to be cool is that next week this time we'll have heard the album. We'll talk about it on the Pop Shop podcast, and we'll have obviously a very early sales
I have one already if you want it.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Currently, as of Wednesday
and this is super early,
but it's something that everyone's watching for. Super early, the industry forecasters project that her album could do between 800 and 900,000 in its first week.
Okay,
now keep in mind her last two albums both started with over a million copies sold, and that was, obviously 2 and 4 years ago, I think. So for anyone to sell a million of anything in its lifetime is enormous at this point, because no one sells albums anymore. So for you to sell anything approaching a million copies in a week, meaning 800 to 900, and that number could grow, that number could change, it could be smaller, but I don't think it'll be smaller. Just to even get that big in 1 week is crazy. So no one should be like, wah, wah, not a million. It's like,
Oh, no,
It's like, do you realize, like, no one can even sell anything close to that anymore? Like, so this is a huge. Yeah. So that's
the last thing that was in that stratosphere was Justin Timberlake's 2020 experience.
Yeah, which was like nine and change. It was close, but not quite to a million.
Yeah. So we will see next week. We'll give you another update on Taylor Swift's 1989 sales forecast on the Pop Shop podcast. So Keith, let's move on to the top of the Hot 100 chart. Meghan Trainor, All About That Bass, still number one.
It's been number one
for 7 weeks. Pretty crazy. To put it in perspective, Fancy by Iggy Azalea was number one for 7 weeks, so it matches that run. And the top five, still all females for the seventh week in a row, which is extending a record. What are those top five, Keith?
Well, the top five this week on the Billboard Hot 100 are, as you said, Meghan Trainor is at number one. You know, it'd be nice if something else was number one at some point. I mean,
oh, come on.
God love Meghan, but I would like something else not to be number one. So number one is Meghan Trainor again. Number two, again, is Shake It Off by Taylor Swift. Yep. Three, From five is Bang Bang, Jessie J, Ariana Grande, and Nicki Minaj. Three is the peak of this single, by the way. It already hit number three previously. Four from three is Black Widow by Iggy Azalea featuring Rita Ora. And five from four, it's Tove Lo, Habits Stay High. So again, yes, for the seventh week in a row, we've got an all ladies. Nothing but ladies in the top five. Maybe we'll get
so again. I mean, I just think it's amazing. This is a record run for top five. I mean, it's a little bit of an obscure chart stat, you know, but it's a record that at no point in the history of the Hot 100 have the top five songs been all female for this long. It's crazy.
It is.
So Keith, one thing I wanted to talk to you about today is, as this record continues to go, as this streak continues to go, what songs by male artists could potentially snap that streak? So let's talk about a couple of them, because one of them is right outside the top five at number six.
Yeah. Jeremih. Don't tell him.
Jeremih.
Yeah.
Don't tell him.
You know, because I'm looking at the points in front of me, because the way the Hot 100 works, it's all math. You know, we take all these numbers and squish them together, and out comes a fabulous spreadsheet with lots of numbers on them, and then we rank them by those numbers. And which ones are bigger? They're at the top. So the top five songs all have quite a bit more points than number six, which is Jeremih.
Okay.
So he's still gaining, whereas Tove Lo and Iggy Azalea, numbers four and five, are actually, they declined a little bit this week, but they're still quite a bit ahead. So it'll still be a little bit before he can close that gap. But he still could if he hangs out long enough, if the song still has enough legs. So that could finally break in the top five. We'll see. I don't know. Yeah. Could be a while, though.
Yeah, and then a little bit lower, something that is continuing to move up, has an upward trajectory, is Don't by Ed Sheeran. Ed Sheeran's first top 10 hit now. It moves 13 to 10 on the Hot 100 this week. It's pretty crazy that this is his first top 10. When you think about like the A-Team and Sing and Everything Has Changed, this is his highest charting hit so far.
Wow, I didn't even realize that. I was just like, oh, Jason has to be kind of wrong with that. Let me quickly look. I'm like, oh, no, wait, he's right.
Cool, man. I'm really glad that you
doubted you with your chart stats.
Wrong. Well, sweet.
That's you know what I mean. It's nothing but love. I was like, maybe he has this wrong. I wasn't going to say that out loud. I'm stunned. Sing went to number 13, and that was his highest charting hit before. That's amazing. I didn't realize that. And
hey, wow. I don't want to say stump the chart master, but I feel like I kind of stumped the chart master a little bit with that.
Well, if that makes you feel good, go ahead.
It does.
So no, it goes 13 to 10. It had, it was up 3% in overall points on the Hot 100. So it's still a good ways away from the top five in terms of sheer points. And it's not gaining at like, you know, a breakneck speed, but it just seems to sort of be really kind of blossoming in the past few weeks, thanks to the video and increased airplay. So we could see the song actually, you know, motor into the top five, but again, it's still probably a little bit of ways away.
And if you were to ask me, like, what song, just based on the song itself, by Ed Sheeran has the best chance of being his first top 10 hit out of the ones that have come out, I definitely would not have said Don't. I mean, it's a song where Ed Sheeran's rapping a lot. It's a song that whose chorus starts with "Don't F with my love." It's an offbeat hit, but then you see a bunch of offbeat hits in the top 10 now. So, you know, congrats to Ed.
You know, considering, I don't know. It's just crazy. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. So a little bit lower. I mean, these are just kind of songs by male artists to just kind of keep an eye on. I wanted to highlight three of these songs because, you know, they're in the top 40 now, and they're not in the top 20, but I think they're worth, like I said, keeping an eye on because, you know, we do this sometimes on the Pop Shop podcast where we say, hey, this song is trending upward. It looks like it could be a big hit in a couple weeks. And then, you know, sometimes we're right. Sometimes we're wrong. We don't have a perfect track record. But, you know, I feel like we did a pretty good job. Hey, we called Nico and Vins when they were like number 92. We were like, hey, Nico and Vins, you better watch out. And then they were a top five hit. Anyway, I'll stop patting ourselves on the back.
It's okay. I just want to say I realized I made a slight mistake when I was talking about Ed Sheeran.
Nice.
I said, oh, you know, the video is like blah, blah, blah. I was thinking of the other video for Thinking Out Loud. You know, the ballroom dancing video.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't thinking of Don't. So I, in my head, clearly I'm such an Ed Sheeran expert that I totally botched everything in my mind this morning talking about Ed Sheeran. So yes, I'm just as baffled as you are as to how Don't is a huge
hit. No, well, and that's kind of the thing that is like, if you listen to Thinking Out Loud, which I guess is the third single from X or Multiply, if you listen to that song, that makes more sense as like kind of like a crowd-pleasing single. Kind of has that Jason Mraz, I'm Yours vibe a little bit. Very like good, like a almost like a wedding song. And, you know, Don't, like I said, a little bit more offbeat, but now his first top 10 hit. Jumping back to, again, some of the songs by male artists in the top 40 right now, worth keeping an eye on. Hozier, Take Me to Church, keeps moving up kind of quickly now. It was 49 on the Hot 100 last week. It is 33 this week, so it jumped 16 spots. And, you know, Hozier, after this SNL performance, after he had a number 2 album debut last week, now has a top 40 hit, Keith.
Yep, first top 40 hit. It was a big gain in sales. He had, I think it was a really sizable gain in digital sales following Saturday Night Live. You know, there was a little bit of impact in the previous week, but the way those weekend shows work is that their impact bleeds into two different weeks. So, I think there were some Complete My Album transactions on iTunes that would have negated whatever increase he would have had last week because the album debuted. So we see the song actually re-enter the digital songs chart at number 13 with 64,000 downloads sold. So it's one of those weird math conundrum things. So he has a big gain following SNL and after his first week with the album. So the math adds up and he has his first top 40 hit.
Well, here's something else to keep an eye on is that Take Me to Church, this song, is in a new Beats by Dre ad starring LeBron James, and like, you know, it's kind of set to his return to Cleveland and whatnot. Powerful new ad.
This song is so old. It's like a year old.
Yeah, it's crazy, but now it's really, you know, really kind of taking off. Kind of like it reminds me of what Latch did with Disclosure a couple months ago. After being out for so, so long, it finally took off in the U.S. So, again, like I said, you know, it's number 33, kind of very far right now from the top five, but definitely, definitely worth keeping an eye on, as we like to say. Others to watch, Nick Jonas, Jealous. We talked about it with Darren Criss last week. It actually dips on the Hot 100. It was 28 last week. It's 30 this week. But it is its airplay is up, its streaming is up, right, Keith?
The song had a momentary. I think it's just sort of a momentary dip. I think the song will sort of stabilize itself, move back up because its sales were down this week. But I think it's not over with yet. So let's not freak out about it.
Yeah, it is a little jealous of the songs in the top five. It feels like that, right?
That it's jealous of the songs in the top
that
five?
It's jealous of the songs that, like, Nick jealous. Jonas is
at
number 30
like
this
week.
It's like eyeing the songs from afar and is like, I want to be in that top five.
It's like, you know, all you girls keep hanging out together. Why can't I get with your group? And they're like, yeah, we like you, Nick Jonas. Come hang out with us. You're pretty.
Exactly. And then the last one before we have to move on is Waves by Mr. Probs. Another one moving up the Hot 100. Where is that at this week? And I should say it's the Robin Schulz remix radio edit. I think that's how it's listed.
Yeah, I mean, we
on, the chart.
On our charts, we credit it as just Mr. Probs Waves. We don't specify which version of it is, but the version of the song that is preferred by radio is the Robin Schulz remix, which is sort of an up-tempo version. It goes 32 to 27 on the Hot 100. And by the way, when speaking of Ed Sheeran and Mr. Probs, when I talked to Ed on the red carpet at the VMAs and we were asking folks what their favorite song of the summer was at the time, he said it was Mr. Probs' Waves. And this was in, you know, late August, early September, before the song really did anything in America. Like, it was just catching on. And I'm like, I don't know that. He's like, you don't know that song? And then he sang a little bit of it to me. And I was like, oh, well, I can see why it's a hit. And so, yeah, if you're on Billboard.com, feel free to go find my video with Ed Sheeran, and you'll see him singing.
You know what? We'll link to it in the podcast post. We'll make it that easy for you, man.
It's that easy. We do it for you. It's all for you.
We do it. It's all for you. So before we get to Kaiza, Keith, we got to talk about this one thing that you explained to me this morning before we were, you know, while we were preparing this lovely Pop Shop podcast, that Glen Campbell is back on the Hot 100. Now, I can't even really wrap my head around this. How did this happen? What's going on with Glen Campbell on the Hot 100 in October 2014?
So Glen Campbell is a country and pop music veteran. Had his biggest successes in the 70s with songs like Rhinestone Cowboy. And he had a bunch of number ones on both the country and pop chart. One of the first sort of crossover artists, you know, back at the time when Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers were crossing over, he was crossing over too. In recent years, though, he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. And a couple years ago, he went on a final tour while he was sort of in the first stages of Alzheimer's. And
very sad. Very sad.
It is sad. And they celebrated him actually at the 2012 Grammy Awards with a tribute from the band Perry and Blake Shelton, who sang a couple songs, and then Glen Campbell came out and did Rhinestone Cowboy, and it was a great moment. I was in the room in the audience. It was awesome, and everyone was singing along. And so there's a new movie, a documentary about Glen Campbell and his final tour and Alzheimer's, and it's called I'm Still Me, and it just came out last week. And there's a song that was written for the film called I'm Not Gonna Miss You. And basically the song, I don't know when it plays in the movie because I haven't seen it yet. And the movie's called I'll Be Me. I'm sorry, it's not I'm Still Me. The song itself is sung from the perspective of saying, you know, I love you and we've had all these great times together, but I'm not gonna miss you. Basically saying, because I won't remember you, you know, shortly. I won't remember who you are because I won't know who you are, because that's what Alzheimer's does to you. But so the song, there's a video for it, and it's a very moving video. The video came out a couple weeks ago, but the movie came out last week, and that's probably drummed up a lot of interest in the song because you hear it in the film. So the song itself actually debuts at number 90 on the Hot 100 this week. It is Glen Campbell's first chart hit on the Hot 100 since 1981. So yeah, no, it's just really cool to see Glen Campbell back on the Hot 100 chart.
Very cool. Very cool indeed. I mean, it's such an interesting story and obviously a sad story, but you know, then you have something like this that really takes hold online and you know, it's really cool. Number 90 debut. We'll see how long it lasts on the chart, but it's very cool to see Glen Campbell's name on the Hot 100 in 2014. So Keith, we got to get to Kaiza. Kaiza is an electropop star whose debut album, Sound of a Woman, is out now, and it came out this week, so congrats to her on that. She had a Hot 100 hit with the song Hideaway. It was a huge viral sensation with a music video that really took off on YouTube thanks to its choreography. If you haven't checked it out, we'll link to that as well in the Pop Shop podcast post. And yeah, she's had some great performances on David Letterman and collaborations with Skrillex and Diplo. And yeah, she stopped by the Pop Shop podcast to talk about all that and much more. Here is Kaiza on the Pop Shop podcast.
I'm super anxious actually at this point because I feel like time was going by so quickly up until I finished the album, and now I just have to sit and wait for it to come out. So I just want to like share the music with the whole world, but I'm really, really proud of it. The way it came together, like I wrote a few of the songs before I even put out Hideaway, and then Hideaway never expected to blow up so quickly, so I thought I'd have all this time, and then it just exploded. So I was worried, like, where am I going to finish the album? There's no time. But we just managed to block off 2 weeks really and just got in the studio and just buckled down for those 2 solid weeks, and they were spread out of each other, and the whole thing just came out very it's just, I don't even know where it came from. Every song, like, there were no throwaways. Every song that I went into the studio to write made the album, so it's sort of just like from beginning to end, it's like I channeled the whole thing, and I had some really cool collaborations on there, and yeah, I'm excited because it has a lot of variety. I think a lot of people right now see me as a house dance artist, but there's some more dance tracks, of course, but there's also some more, like, there's ballads, there's some R&B tracks, there's a bit of hip hop on there. There's a me just piano and vocal. So there's a lot of variety, and I'm really proud of every song.
Do you feel like that's where you got the title from, Sound of a Woman, because this is like a total view of who you are?
Sort of. I mean, Sound of a Woman is a song on the album.
Yeah.
And I really love the title. It was sort of had two meanings. For the song itself, the song is this sort of woman standing up for herself for the first time, speaking her mind and finding that strength to just say exactly what she wants to say. Whereas Sound of a Woman as a title for the album, it just talks about I was really vulnerable for the first time. I was just like, I'm just going to open myself up and just spill all and just talk about what I've been through emotionally over the past few years and just let everything come out and in hopes that, I feel like a lot of people go through good times, bad times, but sometimes they feel like they're in it alone. But I find when you start singing music to people, they're like, oh, I felt the same way. So I thought maybe let's just be completely vulnerable, completely honest, just put it all out there and see if other people connect to the music as well.
You show me there's something more to us than the same old thing, no usual affair. I will never dream of your love till you take me there, till you take me
there. It's definitely an ambitious album, and I feel like that's kind of expected just based on what everyone has already seen, just the Hideaway music video. I mean, you could have done anything for a Hideaway music video, but obviously a dance track, but just the ornate choreography. And then you don't just go to The Late Show with David Letterman, you go outside of The Late Show with David Letterman and you have backup dancers and you're doing your whole, like,
yeah.
Is there just a drive in you where you see an opportunity like that and you say, I have to make the absolute most of this. I have to go out on the streets in front of the Letterman.
I always think, what hasn't anybody done on this show yet? Where it, like, yeah, for Letterman, it's like, no one's gone outside yet, so let's go outside. And somebody's like, oh, we can open the fire hydrant. And I was like, great, can I bathe in it? Like, can I just run through it? They're like, okay, really? Sure. So I don't know, I'm just open. I really love trying different things, and I'm like to take risks and just have fun and do kind of crazy things that other people might not want to do. So every performance I do, I try to make it just unique and different.
Absolutely. I mean, you mentioned the collaborators on the album. You have Joey Badass. You've also worked with you worked with Jack U, you worked with Skrillex and Diplo.
Yeah.
You couldn't have gotten every single person. Like, who is someone, this is only your debut album, but who is someone that you want to get, like, next time? Like, who's, like, the dream collaborator?
It's so hard. You know, people ask me that question, and I've been writing with a lot of people for a while, and there's some people that I always dreamed of working with that I ended up working with that it wasn't as good as I thought it would be, and then there's people that I've never met before that ended up being the dream collaborators. So it's hard for me to now, like, having experience as a writer, it's hard for me to say this is my dream collaborator because I don't know how my chemistry is going to be with one single person until I'm in the room with them. Like Skrillex and Diplo, for an example, I never would have, like, thought in my head that I would have a magical musical chemistry with those two guys, but it just happened and I did. But somebody that I always just really, really like, I really like Miguel right now.
Sound amazing. Yeah. I would love to hear that.
I think he's just amazing. There's this local artist called Blood Orange that I really like.
Yeah, Deb Hines. That would be,
Deb Hines is amazing.
I can hear like a Deb Hines.
And we actually met already and I went to one of his shows. He's like an amazing live performer as well. So that would be really cool. And I don't know, like, I'm so open to anything, really. I love the more spontaneous, unexpected things that come up, so.
So again, thanks to Kaiza for stopping by, and check out her album, Sound of a Woman. And Keith, I can't tell you what else Kaiza did with Billboard.com and with me specifically while she was here in New York, in the Billboard offices, in the Billboard studios. But we're going to have something with Kaiza up on Billboard.com probably in the next week or so. And I'm so, so, so excited about it.
Can I guess?
You can't guess. You can't guess.
Because you'll, you because I'll probably guess what it is.
You'll probably guess what it is.
I honestly don't know what Jason's talking about, but I'm considering her history. I'm like, ooh, wait, what if she did? Ooh, that'd be really cool if she did. And then I don't want to say what it is because then you're like, no, man, he didn't. She
can't,
didn't do that.
We can't spoil it. We can't spoil it. But again, we'll, you know, we'll announce it when it goes live. Can't say when it's going live, but thanks again to Kaiser for stopping by and for having a lot of fun with us. Keith, we got to wrap up, but before we do, it is time for your chart stat of the week.
Hey, okay, so 35 years ago this week, on October 20th, 1979, Herb Albert's sultry instrumental single Rise tops the Billboard Hot 100. I don't know why I'm talking like that.
But I like your sultry voice.
Sultry. 1-900 Herb Albert. Anyway, the song powered its way to number one. Thanks in part to exposure earned from its dramatic and repeated use on ABC's then red hot soap opera General Hospital. The song scored a pivotal storyline, The Rape of Laura by Luke. Everyone remembers Luke and Laura in General Hospital. They eventually got married, but it started out where actually Laura was raped by Luke and she was haunted by the song Rise. Like every time she thought about the song, you'd hear this like in the background. Anyway, the song was played a number of times in the show, helping spur sales and airplay of the record, and ultimately aided its rise to number one. Hey. Rise was later sampled in another number one hit, the Notorious B.I.G.'s Hypnotize, which hit number one on May 3rd, 1997. So if you've heard that song, then you've heard the core part of Rise. Anyway, go check it out. It's a great song. And Herb Albert also recently returned to the Billboard Hot One or the Billboard 200 chart a week or two ago, which was his first charting album since 1987. And by the way, Herb Albert, he's the A in A&M Records. You probably have an album from A&M Records. He's the co-founder. Anyway, Herb Albert's amazing.
Dude, so, you're popping off with chart stats this week.
So there's a chart stat of the week. Herb Albert hit number one 35 years ago this week with Rise.
Thank you for the chart stat of the week. All right, Keith, we have to wrap up this week's Pop Shop podcast. It's not an hour long like last week. We can't go an hour every week, but thanks again to Kaiser for stopping by, and we will be back next week to talk. I have a feeling we'll be talking a whole lot about Taylor Swift next week, as well as some other chart goodness. Keith, do you have any parting words?
Jason, can't you see?
Yeah, let's go out on Hypnotize, which samples Herb Albert's Rise. Here is Biggie on the Pop Shop Podcast. Thanks for listening, and take care.
Nigga flaunting that Brooklyn bullshit, we on it.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.